of freedom, friends of the Lord, friends of America, friends of the church. Boy, what a list the Lord Jesus has to place upon you. And they're all favorable lists. But he also has an invitation that most neither have experienced or understand. And yet, it really is an invitation to the ultimate reason we have been invited into salvation. If this were not to happen throughout eternity, his main purpose for giving his life, his blood, as a sacrifice for us would be lost. But moreover, think about this. The church has lived for years not knowing that Jesus died and was resurrected again only partially about eternity. The other reason, just as important to him, is that he might have that life in you and with you here on earth. You can imagine what a man would feel if he had espoused precious, precious friend. They agreed to marry, and they agreed to marry in a given season of time, a year, 2 years, whatever the agreement amounted to. And he went away, he prepared a place for them, very hard at work, dreaming, just dreaming of the day that he would hold her in his arms as her husband would hold his wife. Then he shows up at the house with all of his friends, so ecstatic because he hasn't seen her since they agreed to marry. He knocks upon the door. The mother answers the door. She looks at him, looks at all of his friends, and says, "My dear one, why are you here tonight?" And he said, to get my bride, that we might be one. And she says, "Oh, she's not ready. Oh, my dear one, she's not ready." His heart breaks. "What do you mean she's not ready? Does she not want to marry me?" "Oh, she does want to marry you. She does very much. But she's not ready. She hasn't prepared for this moment tonight. But I don't understand," he would say. "We made a date. We secured all that we needed to secure. We did, I thought, everything we needed to do that we could culminate this moment between us tonight." And the mother would say, "My dear one, my heart is broken. My poor daughter, she got sidetracked. She's not ready. And here you are, your heart is broken. She loves you, please know that. And I know that you love her. But she's not ready, and her father would never release her until she is. When, he would say, when will she be ready? And the mother would, by now, tears filling her own eyes, my dear son, I do not know. Let me talk to her. Let me go in and talk to her. Please, I don't want to shut the door in your face, but I can't let you in until we resolve this. You understand. So he stands, long face, tears filling his eyes, his heart just broken because he had been dreaming of this time for 2 years. The mother goes in to her daughter and she says, daughter, your husband-to-be is standing outside the door. Tonight was to be the wonderful night of the culmination of so long a wait. Why did you not prepare yourself? And she says, mother, I got sidetracked. I guess I lost my way. I became distracted. So many things, you know. So many things. I don't mean to hurt my future husband. I don't want him to give up on me. But I'm not ready. When can we make this happen? When can we invite him back? How soon will you arise, my dear daughter, and prepare yourself for this momentous occasion? Mother, I will work carefully, diligently, to prepare myself for my future husband. Oh, please tell him I'm weeping and I'm so sorry. Please not to give up on me. I do desire this union. I desire it very much. Will you do that, Mother? And ask him when he wants to open the door for a second chance. Mother, will you do that? Mother turns and goes back to the door. She opens the door and she said, my son, my daughter is not ready. It would be a sin to open the door and say, come in and let's push this thing forward. I cannot do that to you. She cannot do that to you. Her father cannot do that to you. Please, my son, let me tell your friends, this is not your fault. This is not rejection. She could not bear it if you could not wait for her. Will you do that? Will you let me talk to your friends? The young man is so distraught. He's so hurt because his beautiful bride did not prepare herself for their union. But he stepped aside and he let his mother-in-law talk to his friends. She, of course, would be very kind. It's her daughter. And she knows her daughter is virtuous. And whatever happened, she did not do wrong by her young man. She just became distracted. And then she made every person present promise to return with the groom and to collect his beautiful bride. And next time, she and her father would make sure the bride was ready. How they would all walk away from the home, sorrow filling their hearts, tears filling their eyes, questions, so many questions. Why? And they seek to comfort the groom. But how do you comfort when you yourself do not understand? He is the most desired man for a very far stretch of land, of communities, the most desired. He is fairer than 10,000. He is more beautiful than words can say. How can this be? But they embrace and they leave. The bride is distraught. She's so distraught. She's so fearful. She's so tearful. What if he doesn't wait for me? What if he holds bitterness in his heart toward me? I will lose everything I've lived for all these years. And she rises. And from that point on, she is spending every minute of every day preparing herself for his next coming. The Lord is coming for his bride. This is not a rapture. Please understand. This is where the union will begin. Beautiful marriage between a beautiful bride and the most desired groom in all the earth. This is a time when in the heavens, Yeshua has sent forth the trumpeters to herald the time of the wedding. And he's calling forth the bride. Come and make yourself ready, for I'm about to come to take you away with me beyond the mountains to a place I have created just for you and me. I'm not taking you to that ultimate place in the heavens. No, I am taking you into myself that we might know the love of the ages. Prepare. Prepare, my bride. Prepare. Prepare. It won't be long. I can't give you a long time, but I'll help you in any way I can. I'll send any messengers to you. I'll send courtiers. I'll send anything, anyone, to help you prepare for my return. For my heart could not take even one more time of you not being ready. I will hold you. I've dreamed about it day and night. I will hold you. Come near to me. Come near to me that we may become one. This is where we are. Yeshua is calling his bride. Come and get ready. Don't be distracted by the things of the world. My heart is yearning for you. My soul longs for you. Where you live, in the place of distractions, in the valley, may I say, the valley of distractions, where you live, is not worthy of your beauty. I desire to come to you and to take you to the place I have prepared for you, that you may know the life of luxurious love that my Father has ordained for you and for me. Come. Make yourself ready. I will wait for you. I will help you. I will speak tenderly to your heart, to your soul. Be ravaged by my love, that I might be ravaged by yours. Come, my beloved, my dear one, my beautiful one. This is how he's speaking to his church, but not all of his church, to his bride. And his bride will arise and answer the call, because she hungers for her beloved. She hungers for the one with whom she has engaged her every emotion, her every passion for years, for the time of betrothal and union. His love is pure, sweet as honey, oil so rich and so fragrant. His love is pure, he is patient, long-suffering, jealous. The fire of jealousy burns in his heart to hold his bride. Now perhaps you have experienced the feelings, the passions of that call. Personally, I have lived my entire Christian walk, I would say from the very day I said yes to him. I didn't understand union. I didn't understand betrothal. I didn't understand salvation. All I knew is 1 minute. I was indifferent the next minute. My very breath was breathed for him. My heart and my soul was such a flame for him. My daughter Ricky, who received him virtually at the same time I did, in a different way, different location, she was so in love with him. She was getting all of her friends saved, people baptized in the Holy Spirit. She was but a child. She'd pray for her friends and they would be healed. So it was a passion we were both experiencing. I knew I had to have all a human being could have this side of heaven with my Jesus. And I knew I wanted to give him whatever he asked, however he asked. I wanted to know him. I didn't even understand what that meant. But I wanted to know him the way he revealed to me at the moment of my salvation, that he knew me. I knew I would spend the rest of my life seeking him, loving him, passionately adoring him, thanking him. I knew my daughter would do the same thing because her heart was so swollen with love for him. Every day the swelling would grow. I would love him more today than yesterday. And the next day, and the next day. It was never ending. It has never ended. And then it happened. He called. He came. And we became one. The moment I had lived for all my adult life happened. And it was the most beautiful moment one can imagine. Oh my goodness, to have his world open to me, to see what he saw, to know what he felt, what he thought, to see his eyes so filled with love when he would visit me day after day. To hear the sweet melodic voice say my name. For him to hold me. We were not strangers. We were one. Everything he'd ever asked, I gave. Whatever he required, I did. And I've never regretted it. But the day that we became one, it so surpassed anything I'd ever dreamed, everything I'd ever hoped for. To see the eternal future through his eyes, to see the eternal Father through his eyes. To sit down at the Word of God and to see his word through his eyes. I love every moment I'm in his word. Every moment. The passion, the fire it ignites inside of me, I don't know how to explain. Only that it's beautiful. I'm going to be talking to you week after week for a while about union with Christ because he specifically asked me to. Now is the time not to walk but to run. Don't begrudge the cost, all that surrounds his bride, wants to pull upon her, wants to stop this beautiful, beautiful union. Attacking her mind, attacking her heart, attacking her path. Attacking her ascension. Nothing is working for her on this or for him except the Prince of Glory and all that submits itself to him. That is what is working for you, desiring to bring you into this lofty place. And I'm not ashamed to call it lofty. I'm not ashamed to look at what he asked for, what he requires, and to share those things with you. I'm not ashamed. People may say to me, can you ever get good enough for him? No, you can't. But in the places you cannot, he does it because he wants you that badly. What you can do, he wants you to do. What you cannot do, he will do. And there are certain things you cannot do in yourself. But there are an amazing amount of things you can do. You can't imagine what it feels like to have his eyes, his beautiful blue eyes, a flame of fire, the fire of love for you. And he's looking right at you. Come, my bride. My precious one, come. Come to the hiding place, and we will be one. Oh, what a dream. What an amazing dream. And it's possible for you. You could never on this earth, ever, never in heaven, ever want it as badly as he wants it, as badly as the Father wants to see it take place. You cannot imagine what did he do to go and prepare a place for us. He went to the cross. He suffered the shame and the pain. He suffered the brokenness. He suffered all of the things that man has against the Father. He endured. He suffered the attacks against his mind and against his body, that he might have you. What more could he do to show us how badly he wants it? And if he was willing to endure all that he endured, how much more can he give, would he give, to those who would pay the price to be his alone? It doesn't mean you cannot be married. It doesn't mean you cannot have children. It doesn't mean you cannot have friends. There is a sacred place in your heart that God created from the very beginning, before time. To make his home in you. That's what he wants. Because if he has that, he has you. What is that place, my friends? It is your lowly will. Your will to have him. At whatever the expense. I think I've used up all my time, and I'm so sorry. Next week, I'll talk to you some more. But for this week, pray that he will reveal to you whatever you need to hear from him in his word, in dreams, in visions, that the knowing, that he would speak to your heart, that you would come to know the next step in this walk that he needs you to take as part of his bride, that you might become one. I love you, we love you, but no one loves you like he does. Take all that I've spoken very seriously. You will never, ever regret it. Thank you, Lord, in your precious name.